Okay, kia ora, welcome back to the One Take podcast, the official podcast of the One New Zealand Warriors, brought to you by the TAB. I'm sitting here with affectionately known as Sponge, the great Tony Iro. He tells me that it's because he soaks up information like no other. That's why we're going to go with Sponge. But, mate, fresh off a Harold Matts grand final win, we're really excited to get you in today, man, so appreciate you making some time. But I guess let's just walk us straight through that, man. How are you feeling? How's the department feeling, the Pathways department, after making history?
Yeah, well, to be honest, I haven't seen them since the weekend. Everyone goes back and does their normal jobs, but certainly it was an exciting time for the group. Really happy for the group. They've worked really hard, and especially for the players who started off pretty rough in terms of, you know, beginning the year with a couple of losses. But they've just grown and got better and better, and I suppose that's what the program's all about.
I was interested to chat to you about that. You've been around the game a long time. When you first got in here, it was our first year in the Harold Matts Championship, or Cup rather. Did you know immediately that we had something special in this group, or judging by your initial answer then, was it a bit of the opposite? How did you feel at those early stages versus where they eventually got to? Because by weeks two, three, and obviously the grand final, they were looking like world beaters, mate.
Yeah, no, I'm always confident. I'm probably a half glass full type of person. Mm. I knew we had a tough start to the year, and obviously our first three games were away in a bye, and I was actually telling the boys the other day that I thought if we could get away, even if we just got one win out of that opening three games, then we're a decent chance, you know, given the fact that we had five home games on the back of that. So that's what happened. We managed to scrape one in round four, and then yeah, as they say, the rest is history. But the boys, you know, even right up to the first semi-final, I think the grade is it's a tough grade to get a handle on. First of all, you know, they're only 30-minute halves, so, you know, if you get a couple of things wrong, the game can get away from you pretty quickly. But also, you know, if you can get some momentum too through the weeks leading up to the finals, then that's going to hold you in good stead as well. And fortunately for us, that's what happened.
Taking your kind of, I guess, coaching hat off for a second, just as a fan, Sponge, I mean, for a group of under 17 mates to travel to Australia, to play at Combank, to win a grand final, to beat three undefeated teams on the way. I mean, for a lot of these boys, and we hope they all grow on to be Warriors, but for a lot of these boys, Sponge, that's going to be the pinnacle of their football careers. Did you kind of, what are those conversations like when you're talking to the group and trying to keep them, I guess, locked in on the game? I know that's your focus, but do you have those conversations around boys, make sure you soak this up and enjoy it? Because they certainly did post-game, but I can imagine it'd be an emotional few weeks for them leading up to that grand final as well.
Yeah, I think, though, for boys this age, they all think they're going to be NRL players, which is great because that's what we want them to think. So actually, it wasn't that hard to get them to focus, you know, on a week to week. Obviously, we were massive underdogs probably in all three games in the final series, which also helps. And they embraced that. They embraced it as a group. They got a real belief in the playing style that they wanted to play and what the coaches were going to give them. And from then on, you know, as long as everyone's getting their job done, then you give yourself a chance. And you know, all three games really could have gone either way at some stage, because that's the grade. But the boys, you know, toughed it out and really fought for each other. And I thought that's probably the one thing I'm most proud about, is that they came together as a group. There's some real special talent in that team. So I'm looking forward to seeing how they develop over the next few years.
I'd be remiss if I didn't ask, because I stuck my nosy head in your office the other day and I asked you about the trophy because I was hoping to display it proudly here at reception. Where is the trophy, mate? What's going on with that?
We almost escaped with it. The boys were carrying it down the tunnel under Combank, and I, for one, just thought we were bringing it home. And then very agitated New South Wales Rugby League staff member came running down saying, "Whoa, whoa, whoa, you're not taking that anywhere." So anyway, we'll leave that for another day. Mm. We'd like to get it back here at some stage anyway to show it off to family and friends and others. So, yeah, that's in the pipeline.
There you go. People-driven initiative. Let's get the trophy back home. We won it fair and square, mate. All right. Well, listen, I'm, on behalf of the club, or at least anyone that I can speak for, man, congratulations to you guys, because it's crazy. In the first year for an under-17s team in that really competitive, coveted competition to do so well. So I applaud you, Sponge, and your crew with that. Speaking about your team, the pathways as a broader, I guess, subject is something that we've spoken about a lot on this podcast. Monty and Benny talk about it all the time when they're referencing guys like Zion and et cetera making their debuts. But a Harold Matz grand final win is fantastic. But I guess you guys, I mean, you're all still back here at work. I would have thought you'd still be celebrating, mate. Tuesday, too Wednesday. Yeah, too but you're straight back into work, mate. So how have you found, I guess, this first year where we've the pathways have been a real focus for the club? I know there's obviously teething issues, but how have you found it holistically, mate? And where does that grand final sort of sit in and amongst the goals that you guys set as a department?
Well, obviously the grand final win is the icing on the cake and probably one thing that a lot of people weren't expecting. But we'd like to think that's just the beginning. We've moved really fast in the pathways area this year. You know, we've got satellite academies now running in Christchurch, which was the first one. They've been going for about 2 years now. Wellington started about 4 months ago. Dunedin started last week. We've got the Waikato Academy in association with the AFEX group, which have about 30 boys running as well. We've got Palmerston North, who are really keen. The Mid-Central group are really keen on getting one started, and I can see that happening in the very near future. We've got a group in Tauranga of boys who are getting together too, who are wanting to come under the banner. So I think for us, we haven't done everything right, to be honest. It's it has been massive growth in a short period of time, but we've got some really good people around the country in terms of helping us and helping kids, you know, hopefully achieve those dreams of becoming warriors. And I think that's the biggest thing for us, is about having a foothold and those touch points with those kids, who the ones who actually want to stay in New Zealand, have aspirations of playing in the NRL, but don't have to leave for Australia. And I think that's probably the biggest one. If you look at our Harold Matthews squad that just played on the weekend, I think 10 of them are from outside Auckland.
Mm.
And that says a lot, I think, about the changing face of rugby league, and also about where the talent is, which is why we need to spread out across country. It's obviously a very competitive marketplace. We've got a lot of clubs, NRL clubs here, chasing the same players. So, as I said, though, the one thing we can offer them is an opportunity to stay at home with their families and go to their school of choice. And we can make it happen if it's the right kid and he's prepared to work out.
Those satellite programs are something I did want to speak to you about, Sponge. Can you give us a little bit more? When you say satellite program in Dunedin, for example, what does that look like from a resourcing standpoint? And what, I guess, is the purpose of those? Are those simply academies where the top local talent go and train together? Or what does it look like? Because I'll be honest, mate, I don't know too much about them as programs. What is a satellite program?
They're obviously all really different depending on the area. So, and that's the first discussion we have. There's no sort of set template of what a
right.
Warriors Academy looks like, because, you know, the whatever football they're playing, whatever's a dominant code, it's different when they play their club seasons. The country isn't aligned, to be fair, so we can't align every academy to be doing the same thing. So we rely on the local rugby league people down there. We've recruited great trainers. They work in the gym. They've got field work. We've got coaches as well.
And are they reporting back to you guys directly, or yourself, or how does that work?
Yep, we basically give them some ideas in terms of how we want things to run, giving them some free rein too, because they know their kids better than us.
Yeah, of course.
But basically it's an opportunity for them to still develop as rugby league players, so that then when they do get the opportunities to either come up here and play some games with us, some concept games, or we take concept games to the area, at least they're prepared and we can get a good look at them at hopefully near their physical peak. I think the biggest problem we've always had in terms of trying to recruit kids from outside Auckland is that, you know, we bring, for example, last year for Harold Matthews trials, we had 500 odd kids register. We're sort of almost guessing about what kids to bring up. a lot of them come up here, they haven't done the work, and then they're basically thrown in the deep end against our Auckland kids who have been training regularly twice a week or three times a week. So basically the idea is that they run off, you know, the same sort of physical work, school work that we do up here, so that when we do come to those games, they get those opportunities, that they've got as much chance as everybody else. And I think even this year, we're starting to see that. We're starting to see players who are physically ready, and they just give themselves a better opportunity to progress.
What are you looking at? Well, what are you looking for, Sponge? You and your team, when you do get to that, like you said, the satellite programs are doing their thing, and the boys come up and they play in these games. What are you looking for specifically, mate? If I can put my out of Auckland hat on for a second, and I'm a young kid trying to make it, what are some key, I guess, characteristics or attributes beyond the obvious? What are you kind of looking for to put that group in that kind of, you know, Zion, Jacob, Lekka conversation where we really start to invest in these kids? What are you looking for, mate?
You know what? The biggest one is kids that will turn up. And I think that's a massive one. If you talk to any of our performance staff, the biggest thing about becoming a top line footballer is you have to be consistent. Like, you have to be coming. Like, if you're missing sessions here and there, then it's just not going to cut it. Mm-hmm. So I suppose that's another big thing about the academies. It's not easy for these kids. They've got, you know, a lot of other commitments. Some of them have to travel big distances, but the kids that actually want it will turn up for the training sessions. So, you know, there's obviously some physical and some natural football attributes that you're looking for.
Yeah.
But the biggest one is turning up. And I think, you know, if there's any message for any kid is, you know, when a session's on, you've got to have a really good reason not to be there.
Talking about guys who have turned up and have moved on to that next level, if we can get a little bit beyond the pathways here, again, Monty speaks a lot on this podcast about the immediate emerging crop, Zion, Ali, Jacob, to name a few more recently that have kind of debuted, Dimitric as well, who's obviously on the mend. What out of those boys specifically made them kind of stand above the pack? Because it is as simple as that, mate, beyond the physical gifts, guys who bought all the way in. When I talk about that group specifically, what makes them so special?
They're good people. That always helps. I think with that group too, they were part of the last, I might be wrong here, but I think they were part of the last SG Ball group back in 2018 before the COVID era hit. They were fortunate enough to travel as a group to Redcliffe to continue training. And so they've had that consistent training, being around the NRL side, being around some high quality football in terms of the Q Cup and the associated junior comps up there. So that's certainly helped in terms of their development. But as you say, exposing them and then for them just to be really consistent in the work they're doing, you know, is probably the, you know, is the pathway to success, so to speak. And, you know, the other thing is they did it together. And I suppose that's the real big thing about the pathway teams that we have now. You know, you look at the Harold Matthews side, we like to think that those boys as a group have developed something in terms of an association, a bond. And hopefully that will drive them on to bigger and better things too as the years go by.
You do seem to enjoy this, Sponge, the kind of, I guess, talent identifying and development. You've also coached at the highest level. So I guess I wonder from a personal level, what do you prefer one or the other? Do you like to be the hands-on coach, blowing the whistle and pushing the boys around? Do you like to be the, I guess, the nurturing pathways guru that you are here, mate? Or kind of what do you enjoy, mate?
I think I started at the club in development, and I've always –
that's where your passion's lied?
Yes, yeah, that's where my passion is. I like coaching too, and even over the last, you know, 12 weeks of the Harold Matthews season, I've had to pull myself back a little bit to let the coaches actually get on with the work. I throw in obviously some of my knowledge when I think it's appropriate, but I do love this area. It's I remember when I first started way a long time ago, probably before you guys were born. Probably not that long ago, but easy, it seems like it.
Easy. Bodie's not that young, mate.
Yeah, the first Warriors under-20s teams and, you know, like the Ben Mattalinos, you know, the Sean Johnson I had in my squad, those kids, just to see them succeed and basically change their lives is really inspirational for me.
That's what I wanted to get to, mate. So you're leading me very well here, Sponge. You were part of, you know, Pathways now is such a big focus for a lot of NRL clubs. In those days, it was a little bit wild, wild west because no one really knew what they were doing. We had all these under-20s kids with their, you know, Dax waxed hair on TV doing their thing. But you were part of some really successful teams back then, mate. So clearly you have a passion for this. But what do you remember about those days? And I guess if you can juxtapose it with the Flegg side and other teams we have now, what's the difference between those early Toyota Cup years and kind of what we got going on now?
To be fair, you know, they were, and I don't know if it was right, but they were treated like rock stars, to be fair, because they were the curtain raiser to the NRL team, you know. So the reserve grade back then took a back seat and you had all these kids, you know.
They were out playing on Mount Smart number two.
Exactly. and these young kids, and, you know, we had kids who were 16, 17 playing in our under-20s.
Wow.
But they were, like I said, they were the supposedly the next gen coming through. And it was good times because obviously that the experience of playing in front of big crowds and being the number two show during the week. I don't know, sometimes it can help you, sometimes it can hurt you, but certainly for us the under 20 set a real good precedent in terms of developing kids for the club. And I think this is probably the next step really in terms of, you know, allowing our kids, at that real development age, because we can recruit kids now and we have to, the year they're turning 15, because if we don't, someone else will. So it just allows us to get a better connection to those players. But I'm hoping they're not playing, curtain raisers to the NRL side very soon. That belongs to the big boys.
I guess that pathway, I keep using that term, but I can only imagine, and I'm speaking from non-experience here, that must be, I can assume if someone goes through the Harold Matts, SG Ball, Flegg into reserve grade system, they must be more prepared or more ready-made footballers. At least that would be the hope versus perhaps back in the day when, like you said, an 18, 19-year-old played 10 games of 20s and then was thrown in round one. When you look back on those days, I'm sure there was probably some careers or some choices back then that might have burnt a few players. As for every Sean Johnson and Ben Maddalena, I'm sure there's a lot of talent that probably could have used a nurturing system like this. What learnings do you take from those early 20 days now when you're looking at a young kid who's clearly very talented and I guess standing out above the pack, but you've probably got some, I would assume, some history in the game of knowing, hang on, there's a system here.
Yeah, I think you mentioned right at the start that this will be the highest level some of these kids play at,
yeah,
Harold Matthews, and that's going to be true. The thing is, it's an ultra-competitive industry, and it's a tough industry. But like you say, it's a great opportunity for these kids to experience something that you can't get anywhere else. But we can still be a little bit negative, and probably rightly so, in some of our meetings when we have them with players and parents about, you know, what opportunities are coming because they are limited. You know, we're at the bottom of the pyramid with the Harold Matthews in terms of our player development program, and every step you take, it gets tougher and tougher. So it is, you know, Harold Matthews is a good way of introducing players to the club, finding out what makes them tick and seeing whether they've got the ability to go to the next step. But I think that's the biggest thing is like just making sure they're looking at the next step, not right up the top. Because I've seen plenty of kids get a little bit frustrated about their progress and perhaps just having a little bit more trust in the coaching staff and the development program that if they're good enough, they'll get there eventually.
Love that. The Harold Matts, I mean, the scenes after the game were so exciting. It did remind me of those early 20 days when you had young Conrad Arell scooping a dummy half scoop for 80 metres and boys celebrating a great Jordan Meade's field goal. But I digress. Meadesy's still doing it.
You were born then,
huh? I was, yeah. No, he's one of the greats, Meadesy. Mate, coaching development was something I wanted to talk to you about as well because you mentioned right before we started recording, it's kind of half the gig, which a lot of people, we are all excited. We're all trying to find the next Sean Johnson. I know that. But how important is the coaching arc of the development or the pathway system as well, mate? And how much work or how much of your time is dedicated to that aspect versus direct player development?
I think the biggest thing about having, you know, five teams wearing the, the Warriors jersey is the opportunity. And I think we haven't had that before. And I think a lot of the local coaches have been a little bit frustrated. You know, if you've only, you know, and we haven't had the 20s for a while either, but, you know, if you've only got reserve grade and the NRL coaching jobs to aspire to, where do you go? Where do you go to? And I think just the fact of having, you know, the Mats, Ball and Flegg teams, all of a sudden you've adding 9, 10, 11, 12 coaching opportunities to local coaches. And for example, in the Harold Mats, we've had Paul Clark and Sefo Fumuano, who are both, you know, well-credentialed and experienced Fox coaches. But would they have got this opportunity otherwise? I'm not sure. It's just that there are limited opportunities right at the top. But for our local coaches to get experience and to put them on that pathway to a potential NRL job, is they've got to understand what the club is doing and how we're working. And, you know, our recruitment and pathway people need to see them in action as well. So if anything, I think it's probably almost – as important, if not a little bit more important. The young players that we've had come through need to be coached really well. These coaches that we've gotten in these junior grades are, you know, encouraged and do get to New South Wales Cup trainings, NRL trainings as often as they can, just so that they're learning and getting that personal development that's so important. I think rugby league's such a technical game. It's called a simple game. It's not. It's actually a real tough game to coach. And you know, we've got a great NRL and cup coaching team at the moment. And the more that they can pass on to these local coaches, the better for us and the better for our players.
What connectivity is there between NRL, New South Wales Cup, and your department, mate? Is those daily conversations, weekly conversations? Are you guys information sharing? How does that work for a guy who, or a woman who comes in and is part of these junior teams? How do they? I mean, are they a direct line to Webby, or is there somewhere in between? Like, what's the coaching tree like that, and how are they able to soak up information off some of our high performing coaches? Is that through
to
you?
To be fair, it has to be driven by us.
Yes.
At a lower level, we understand how busy the NRL and cup teams are week to week, and I, you know, having been part of that as well, I can understand where your focus can just be completely on that, and it should be. So, but what I do know is that both those coaching teams are really open. If we ask, then generally they will let us come in.
Awesome.
And I think Webby's got a real understanding too about, you know, having his time at Penrith, the development programs there, is that, you know, if you don't engage with your junior coaches, if you don't let them come in and be around it, then, you know, the chances of them progressing are probably slim. So he's really open to us. You know, sometimes there's weeks where he doesn't want us around, and completely understand it as well, but you'd find that's in the minority. He's very open, as are most of the coaches. And as I said, they're a real strong coaching group in that they're all a little bit different. They've all got different experiences, and they've all got something that our coaches will take away from them.
You've been involved at the club at a lot of different levels, Sponge, for a long time now. This might be a bit of a hard one to ask, but before I get you out of here, I was really keen to have a chat about, people have spoken a lot about, off the back of the 2023 success, the differences and the changes at the club, and it's such a different environment, and, you know, the Webby effect and all this other stuff. As part of the furniture here, mate, what have you, what's kind of some big takeaways or big changes that you've noticed, let's say in the last, you know, post-COVID era here at the club? Is there anything that's really stuck out to you, or when you walk in that door, that's different than perhaps some of those, I guess, leaner times, or when those
yep.
pathways and stuff weren't here? What's the biggest differences, mate?
Oh, belief, I think. I think when you see the senior players come in, they've got a belief in what they're doing, a belief in the system, the belief in what can work for them. And, you know, in some respects, you know, and I might be drawing a long bow here, but I'd like to think that the Harold Matthews have drawn a little bit out of that too, in terms of having a belief in terms of what they could achieve. I'm pretty sure that's it. You know, if you look at the hype and the energy around the WAS at the moment, it does mean something. And I think there is a lot of belief there now, you know, in terms of what this side can do. It's quite interesting. I look now at the media because, you know, we've drawn one game in the last three. you know, I think, you know, previously, you know, the media would have gone, oh, well, that's just the WAS. Now it's like, what's going on there? You know what I mean?
And, the expectation.
And that's the expectation is great. And Webby talks about it all the time. And I think the whole energy around what the NRL side is doing is rubbing off on the rest of the rest of the squads and the rest of the coaching staff as well. So, no, I'm really excited about it. As I said, they're a real strong group up top. They're a group that I know our young boys aspire to be, and as do our coaching staff. So, onwards and upwards.
All right, mate. What's next? Harold Matz is done. GF trophy TBC. To be arriving, but what's next for you, mate? Obviously, Flegg and SG Ball are still rolling, satellite programs popping up left, right and centre, but what's next for you, Sponge?
Well, back satellite, to work. I'm flying off to Wellington now. We've got a game for our Wellington Academy down there tonight, and that sort of basically over the next few months. You know, obviously the club season starts, the 1A rugby season starts as well, which, you know, it's rugby, but that's where a lot of our boys are playing now. Basically it's getting out there and getting ready for the next Harold Matz season and recruiting the squad that we think can hopefully win it again.
Awesome, man. Well, again, like I said off the top, man, massive for the club, massive for you guys. Congratulations. No pressure to repeat, but I'm backing you in. So cheers, Sponge. Thanks,
appreciate
bro.
It. Thanks, mate.